Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
LSU is the first SEC team to finish the season 15-0, and this is what it sounded like for the LSU Tigers, the countdown to a championship.
Joe Burrow, again, the snap, the knee, and the Tigers of LSU, a team of destiny and a team for ages, celebrate on the field here tonight in New Orleans inside the Superdome, capturing the national title and snapping a 29-game win streak for Dabo Sweeney and Clemson. Final horn sounds. It's in the books. Tigers win. They are the national champions with a win tonight over Clemson, 42-25.
And there you have it, LSU Radio Network on the call. And that's what it was like. LSU wins. And something we got into a few minutes ago. People have had a chance to take a deep breath and to continue on with what we're talking about here. And this is not, you know, hey, Green Bay Packers should pay people to shovel more to shovel snow.
Hot take!
Joe Burrow tonight against Clemson. Five more touchdowns. And when you think of the totality and break down what he accomplished this year, there is no quarterback in the history of college football that has had a better season than Joe Burrow. And this is not prisoner of the moment. This is just going by sheer numbers, what they've produced, and what the end result for the team was. All right, you could deal. Colt Brennan had the old record for touchdowns in the season shattered, and Colt Brennan played for Hawaii, where they threw the ball 65 times.
Go through. I mean, Timmy Chang was a guy that
Nick
was
Rolovich, up, all those guys. All they rolled right through.
Yeah,
this is an SEC schedule that Joe Burrow was able to throw 60 touchdowns against. Do you want to say, well, some of those teams stunk? Well, yeah, in college football, every good team plays some games against teams that stink. I mean, nobody plays 11 games, a 12-game gauntlet. You play against some teams that stink. Then you play against some teams that are really good. And it didn't matter because Joe Burrow was great against the teams that stunk. He was great against the teams that were good. There's no other way to cut this up. Nobody has thrown for 60 touchdowns. Okay, 60 touchdowns this season. He's also ran for four, oh, by the way. So make it 64 touchdowns for Joe Burrow over. You're talking about total touchdowns. But 60 touchdowns passing, six interceptions, 10-1 touchdown to interception ratio against SEC defenses with future NFL stars on it. 5,500 yards passing. 5,500.
Yeah, you shorted him a rushing touchdown because he had one tonight.
Oh, so make
get
it
that
five.
Total up 65 to 65.
Touchdowns. 65 touchdowns.
65, because then we get the King Kong Bundy five
count.
But yeah, you mentioned the schedule, and people go through, okay, go pick any other great season in a player's history. Just for giggles, I pull up Lamar Jackson. He played at Louisville. I don't need to extend that, do I? No. We look at Tebow and what he did as a member of the Gators and the what they had to do. For Joe Burrow down the stretch, you're talking about three wins over top five teams to close this thing out, to finish a perfect season, to get the hat trick, all of that as he gets ready to go and accept the trophy, and they've got the mock-ups of the newspaper rolling around and everything. But it's just the idea of what he was able to accomplish while completing 78% of his passes. All right, I'm rounding up because it's a nice mm-hmm. number, 77.6 mm-hmm. going into tonight. And even after some early struggles, even after the rib shot, just kept going. He was still calling running plays after taking that shot, right? He was moving a little gingerly on that first possession, as we chronicled earlier in the show. But clearly, he was shook it off. I don't know if he got to the medical tent and got a little something to help him get through the end of the game, whatever the case was. But suddenly, he started throwing the ball downfield, making plays. Think about the one that Chase let drop, right? I mean, that was that would have been another 32-yard touchdown pass on that drive. So, you know, for Joe Burrow, I'm usually not a hype man. I'm usually the one trying to look at where there's cracks in the arsenal. We sure as hell didn't see him in this college football season.
Well, and I'll take it a step further from Joe Burrow. Is this the most dominant season we've seen from a college football team ever. Now, this becomes a bigger conversation because many teams have gone undefeated, blown teams out wire to wire, and done it in that case. Now, suddenly, you're looking at Joe Burrow versus other quarterbacks. It's, well, you can't find what these guys have done in a season. There's nobody close to what Burrow is able to accomplish. This is more of a conversation because you've had teams 12, 13, 14-0. LSU did it. They beat seven teams that were ranked in the top 10. All right, again, SEC schedule, 15-0, not 12-0, which is great. 11-0 is great. 13-0 is great. This is 15-0. All right, I mean, Texas, Florida, Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Clemson. I mean, that's a pretty big murderer's row of teams that you beat over the course of a season. Now, is Texas a top 10 team? No, but they were when they played.
They were when they played.
And
exactly.
You know, this is still, like I said, an SEC schedule. That is more of a conversation, but this is right. I mean, I have to say this has got to be in the top 3 or top 5 all time right away.
Very important now to point out, you can go listen to more of us yelling at each other in podcast form, our special teams podcast, because we've gone through a couple of these teams, right? You look at USC, the juggernaut that was. We've talked about that Texas team and Vince Young. Sorry to bring it up again, USC fans, but you got to wear it tonight. You're going to keep wearing it.
Too soon, Harmon.
No. Vince Young's retired. It's okay. Go on through. You've got, I mean, USC litters a lot of those early notes when you start going through a list of great teams. You got 95 Nebraska. You got last year's Clemson team that went 15-0, Mack Brown, we talked about that squad, and just keep going on down. The Miami team of all those years ago, right? When you're looking at Miami, you go to that Washington squad. I mean, there's a lot of teams, and just, I mean, unlike every other poll that gets done, I mean, I'm talking the last 30 years for all these squad, because, you know, I'd have film that I can watch to see how dominant they were. But the way they navigated this schedule, particularly this final 3-4 games, I mean, that's really where it's at, because they weren't just wins. They were convincing wins. And this one started out slowly. They were like, all right, what are we going to get? And then they still put up 42.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
LSU wins the national title. They blow past Clemson 42-25. Joe Burrow throws 5 touchdowns, including 1. To the man who joins us now on the hotline, wideout Terrace Marshall Jr. Terrace, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, how does it feel? You're a national champion. What's going through your head?
I feel great, man. I mean, I words can't describe how proud I am of this team and all the things that we've overcome, and I'm just grateful to be in this position.
Hey, have you heard your the play-by-play call of your touchdown?
No, sir.
You want to hear it?
Sure.
All right, go ahead, play it.
Snap back. Joe has it. Looks. Launches towards the end zone. Adjusting. Terrace Marshall goes up. Pulls it down. Touchdown, LSU. 24-yard touchdown pass. Add another to Joe Burrow. Give Terrace Marshall his first reception for a touchdown tonight.
And now you can make that your ringtone on your phone.
Oh, yeah. I probably will if I can get it.
You're the man with the last one. You're the record setter. So forever, you're linked in the history books.
That's. I mean, words can't describe how grateful I am.
Hey, when the game got to halftime, the third touchdown by Burrow, he takes a big hit, comes off. It looked like he kind of wasn't himself early in the third quarter. Did you notice? Was he a little bit different? Whether it was a rib or an arm, that because he got hit big time on that touchdown pass.
No, I mean, things happen in the game. I mean, everything can't be perfect, so I didn't really I already expected him to bounce back like the person, like the player he is. So, I mean, I didn't really think of nothing. I just kept playing.
Terrace Marshall Jr. of the victorious national champion LSU Tigers joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Terrace, with the completion percentage, right, he's up at 78%. How much pressure do you feel to make a play every time that ball comes your way?
I feel no pressure. I mean, I was born to do this, and this is what I work hard for. So when the ball's on the air, I just feel like I have to go get it.
Was there a point in the game that you guys knew you were going to win?
From the beginning.
Yeah! That's my guy.
I like that answer.
What's the end of a pregame pep talk from Ed Orgeron like?
We got to go out there and just play 60 minutes. That's the message to us. And we can't win a game in the first, second, third, or third quarter. So we went out there and we drive all the way to the fourth quarter to the Chargers.
Now, you're from Louisiana. Does it mean extra to you to win, stay home and go and win the national championship?
Yes, sir. It was real special. I mean, to just be able to come home and just win the national championship in front of the home crowd. And but honestly, I feel like anywhere we would have played it, it would have still been special.
All right, so tell me, what's the big celebration like tonight for you?
I mean, we're going to party.
Well, you do have tomorrow off, right? No classes, as I saw you posting up on social media.
No class. We up all night.
All right, so Bourbon Street, so what is it? Tell me so I can look for you guys.
I don't even know where we're going. I just know we're not going to be in that hotel.
Terrace Marshall Jr., a big game tonight. The big touchdown. LSU, the national champions, 42-25. Thanks so much for stopping by with us, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the night.
So, thank you.
Thanks, Terrace.
All right, great stuff there from him. When did you know you were going to win? Beginning of the game.
Right when it started.
We were beginning, right at the beginning. We knew we were going to win. And next? What do you got next for us?
I was born for this. I made some great answers. I mean, he's on it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
The ESPN survey for the best 150 college football players of all time was completed, and at halftime, ESPN introduced the players who were the top 11 on that list. And obviously some of them are no longer with us. You had Red Grange's cousin, right? The woman was young. How is that Red Grange's cousin? I didn't understand that part of it.
They couldn't do all the hyphenations and everything.
cousin by another. So the list
Actually,
goes.
Let's go through the life of Red Grange. I'll do that while you talk.
The list goes like this for the top 11 of the 150 players, and you watch a lot of them come out and wave to everybody. It was a great moment. Roger Staubach is number 11. Gale Sayers, number 10. Barry Sanders, number 9. Dick Butkus, number 8.
Two Bears.
Earl Campbell, number 7. Red Grange, number 6. Right? So that's 11 through 6. Staubach, Sayers, Barry Sanders, Butkus, Earl Campbell, Red Grange.
John C.
Now you get to the Now you get to the top 5. It's Jim Thorpe, Archie Griffin, Bo Jackson, Herschel Walker, and Syracuse.
No Slovis?
Syracuse, Jim Brown, best college football player
Slovis
of
got
all
snubbed?
Time. Slovis is at, he's number 12.
Archie,
that's BS.
He's number 12.
Did they include his lacrosse stats? What do we
do? Well,
doing
they have
there?
To. Well, you got to include lacrosse.
Oh, man, my man's got two Heisman trophies.
Jim Brown, Syracuse.
How's he
Jim
number four?
Oh, he's now number 4. He didn't really do a lot. Didn't really do anything in the pros.
I mean, I know they gave Bo Jackson a Heisman undeservedly when it should have been Chuck Long's, but I mean, come on.
Oh, stop pumping up for the beast. Iowa, you have no claim to Iowa. You're a Northwestern guy.
Big 10.
It was a close vote.
It's Big 10.
It was the closest vote ever, right?
Blue collar.
Yeah, it was.
But here's my big thing with this list. I gave you that list right there, and outside of Dick Butkus, everybody's basically a running back. Roger Staubach's number 11. So what you're telling me is Roger Staubach is the best quarterback in college football history. Okay, that's what you're telling me.
And you got nobody. Who's the most recent? Bo Jackson?
You're telling me that, right? Yeah, Bo Jackson. All the great players we have had, there's not one in the, quote, modern era of college football.
Well,
the
most Barry recent Sanders, player. I mean, that's 30 years.
Barry Sanders. Yeah, it was 1989, 1990, yeah. Barry Sanders.
I mean, you could get those 1989 beautiful green score rookie cards. Him and Deion Sanders and Troy Aikman.
Not that you wanted to be prisoner of the moment and say everybody's coming from the past 15 or 20 years. We got to put Ricky Williams on the list. We got to do that. But the big issue I have, you have Roger Staubach at number 11 when you're talking about college football, and he's the best college football player I've seen in the modern era. A guy that won 2 national championships, a Heisman Trophy.
Oh, don't do it.
And senior year.
Don't do it.
Went 12-0 in the regular season.
God, I love it.
Tim Tebow has to be on this list in the top 5, if not in the top 3.
I'm so excited.
You're talking about the top college football players of all time. Stop that. Forget about the pros. Forget about whatever reality shows Tebow's doing. Forget about proposing to his fiance in a gazebo on an island that's named for him.
First and foremost, I just have to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Take everything else out of it. Tim Tebow, what he accomplished as a college football player, nobody has that resume. Nobody's got that resume. Heisman Trophy, 2 national championships, 12-0 record senior year, along with numerous quarterback awards, best quarterback in the country award three times. What else does he? What else does the guy need to do? I mean, I feel like that's a backlash, and specifically people don't, whoever voted didn't want to give it to Tebow. No, I'm not putting Tebow on a list of best quarter. So I get them to show up and wave and wave. No, screw Tebow. I'm not going to put him on that list. When Tebow really is the best college football player I've seen in the modern era.
Here's number 76.
That's where he belongs.
That's the problem here.
That's insane.
That is just insane. Because we're talking, as this game gets hyped, right? And Joe Burrow, with the year that he's had, talking about single season, one of the great single seasons we've ever seen in college football. For Trevor Lawrence, with what he's done, if he wins tonight, and then he's still got to come back for one more year, and if they have another fantastic run, who's he being compared to? Being compared to the career that Tebow had.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's the guy you bring up. You don't bring up any of these other guys. Dan Marino is ahead of him. I mean, Peyton Manning didn't win anything. Passed for a lot of yards.
They won the national championship the year after he left.
Where's T. Martin?
Where's T. Martin on the list of greatest college football players of all time?
Just insane.
Look, and I don't mean it needs to be everybody from the past 20, 30 years, but the most, you're telling me nobody from the last 30 years is good enough to be in the top 10
Tebow
greatest college football players of all time?
Tebow 76. Archie Manning is 50. Jack Tatum. You got Jim Plunkett. Just keep on going. Eddie George. I love Eddie George.
Where's
Eddie George
Ryan Leaf?
Ahead of him.
Ryan Leaf just had one big year. I get that for
so
Ryan
you're
Leaf.
You're saying this is an ESPN poll? This is
ESPN ran a poll for the greatest players in college football history, an ESPN survey.
150 media members, college administrators, former players, and coaches.
The greatest part about it is Tebow works for ESPN.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing that's the most surprising of it all.
He's knocking on everybody's doors. He walks down the hallway. Hey, vote for me, right? Okay, great. Hey, vote for me. Okay. Hey, Norby. Hey, great. Vote for me. Okay, great. Thanks. Appreciate it.
That's the thing that doesn't make any sense. You'd think he would get, like, entry music like he was a WWE superstar.
Hey, Jesse Palmer. Yeah, can you get enough time off that food baking championship show and vote for me? Okay, great. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Nice.
Thanks.
Guys finished 76.
Vote for me.
Say?
How about that?
I mean, Tebow, really, of the modern era of the impact on the game, and this is where it's good that we get to remember the impact that he had because it was still just, you know, 7-8 years ago. He had an impact unlike anybody on the sport of college football. And it's not like he was someone, well, he just won. He didn't really. No, I mean, he won and he put up the stats. I mean, Tebow did what. I mean, it's not like he's, well, he had 12 touchdowns. No, no, that's not Tim Tebow. That's not anything that he had to do. He was a guy responsible for over 30 touchdowns. He was a guy that was responsible for all kinds of offense. He won every single award you could possibly think of as a quarterback in college football. I really don't understand. He threw for 32 touchdowns in 2007, 30 touchdowns in 2008, right? He had 10 interceptions total in those two seasons. And then running the football, he was up near 1,000 yards in all three of those seasons. And his touchdowns were 12, 14, and 23. The guy did everything. He did everything. He accounted for 50 touchdowns a year, two out of his 3 years. And you talk about what he won and what he did those 3 years as a starter. I don't know how he's left off the top 10 and how he comes in at 76.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
The Astros are penalized by Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred completes his investigation into the allegations the Astros were using electronic means to steal signs in 2017 when they won the World Series. And this is a developing story because other people are involved that are no longer with the Astros. You have
Mets,
Red Sox manager Alex Cora. You have Carlos Beltran. The Mets can't even give the Astros a day. No, this is a huge mess. And the Mets go, no, we want part of it. No, let's just leave it to the Astros. No, no, we want to own this part of it. Beltran, the only two people mentioned by name in the whole sign stealing were Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran.
Gotta
only
have a fall guy
mentioned by name in this.
This was going to be a eight men out kind of situation where you'd have two guys going, I didn't see any signs. I hit 338 on my own. Or I hit 105. You think I was stealing signs?
Nope.
No. Nobody cares about your batting average. This
story is just insane. I mean, it's like a class action lawsuit because you have the Dodgers who you can say, boy, now depending on what Alex Cora did he bring this to the Red Sox when he came there to manage? They're looking at maybe two parades. Frostburg's got a whole city blocked off for the Dodgers.
I had to bring him some lawn chairs.
The Yankees are mad. The Yankees are already intimating that they lost a chance of the World Series because of this. I want the Royals in 2015 to be investigated.
Think about all the revenue lost. Think about the reputations lost, right? All these Dodger players. I mean, think about Clayton Kershaw. I mean, how many times have you seen the mock-up of Choker?
All right, that would be great.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that fell out of this.
It's not like he was lights out in the playoffs before that.
I'm not saying that.
Hey, everybody had the signs for me.
But
everybody, the Cardinals had the signs. Everybody had the signs.
Look, the Cardinals had cheaters that were in-house from their time with Houston,
everybody
right?
Had
when
signs,
they went,
okay.
They stole all their scouting information. There was a guy with the Cardinals that worked for the Astros. So it all plays together.
Had the signs. Every game.
When it comes down to this, right, and we have the firings after the year-long suspensions are announced, it still puts a pretty low price on a championship. $5 million, couple of draft picks. Screw the draft picks.
Well, also they're fired. Your GM, your GM got suspended. So did your manager, and then they were fired.
That's fine.
Right
you got
after
your title, they're
by
not
the
taking
Astros.
It away.
Well, here's the thing, and I get it because should they have taken the title away from the Astros? Yes, they should have because that would show baseball's not messing around, and this is something that can't continue because this is fabric of the game. This is not just stealing signs. This is we're going through an elaborate electronic scheme to relay signs into the dugout. And of all the different angles on this story, one I want to get to tonight, because listen, everything we have going on at the national championship game is going to take over as well.
That and the NFL will just kill it. Yeah.
Is that I understand why. I disagree, but I get why. Because if Rob Manfred just decides to vacate the 2017 World Series, right? He vacates the 2017 World Series. It's the right thing to do because clearly by this punishment, they gained some kind of incredible advantage. Look, when you know what kind of pitch is coming, that's a big advantage. But he's saying, I'm not making my legacy, Rob Manfred, commissioner who stripped the Astros of the World Series. I'm not making such a negative headline what people remember me for as commissioner of Major League Baseball. Not doing it. Because he saw what happened with Bud Selig. What can you say about Bud Selig? Oh, yeah. He was commissioner when there was no World Series, 1994.
But now you're the commissioner that slapped these guys on the wrist.
Doesn't matter.
No, this is different.
Doesn't matter. He does not want to be the commissioner because he knows that's the
first
thing.
He'd be the hero.
I don't think he would be. I'm the guy that had to punish my own league because we couldn't do the right thing. I didn't have enough oversight on these teams, even though there were reports of the Astros stealing signs, and we knew oversight.
They looked the other way, right? Watch issue.
This is a black. Yeah,
come up.
This is a black eye for baseball, and I'm not going to be the commissioner that this becomes synonymous with.
Oh no, he's going to wear
positive,
this one.
I want a positive. Reputation. But that's why I'm going to do this because I'm not going to be that commissioner. Look, I remember when Bud Selig, when they canceled the World Series in 1994, and I was working for ESPN as production assistant, and they had a big press conference officially to make they couldn't play anymore, and it was canceled. And Bud Selig, the first part of the press conference, okay, everybody saw the press release, so let's talk about what's next. He wasn't going to be the commissioner to say, well, as you can see, the World Series has been canceled. He wasn't going to be so they could play that soundbite forever and ever. And even in 1994, he knew I don't want to be the guy to even say the World Series has been canceled. I don't want to do that, and I'm going to hopefully try to avoid that. You know that he wouldn't say it. You see, here's the announcement. Now let's talk about it. And he talked about what was next in labor, and nobody cared at that point because it was just the World Series was over, and it was a great regular season.
I was ready for that White Sox Expos World Series. Yeah, that was going to be fantastic.
That would have been a lowly, high-rated World Series. But that's the same thing for Rob Manfred. He knows he can't go away from this, so what do I do? I punish the people at the very highest point of this, which is the general manager and the manager. And the GM, apparently, there was no evidence he found that Jeff Luhnow knew.
Yeah.
A.J. Hinch said he kind of knew and tried to get them to stop, which was ridiculous.
A.J. Hinch is, he broke two monitors. No, you're the guy that controls the clubhouse. You controlled every aspect of it. Luhnow, the same thing. Analytics guys. Yeah. But, you know, that's a variable we just didn't recognize. Come on.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that if you try to get it all done at the top in one fell swoop, this is why he didn't announce penalties for Beltran. It's why we're waiting on Alex Cora. I'm penalizing the guys at the top, and that's it. And then we're done. Yeah, I have a big scandal here, and not realizing that there's still going to be questions. And all he did was empower people to say, "Hey, let's let Pete Rose and all the other cheaters in the Hall of Fame." Now it took a half hour after we find out all the players who were involved in this aren't getting any kind of repercussions against them. They're not responsible for any of it. In a half hour, it was let's let all these cheaters in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Rob Manfred, in trying to preserve his own legacy, has really just thrown out a punishment that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, no suspensions to the players. I was hoping they'd all have to be pushed. Set. Really, the international money is where I thought they'd get hammered. Right? Forget about draft picks. Who cares about that? It's being able to use a giant pool of cash to go sign players from overseas that aren't part and privy to the draft. But in the end, you made it pretty easy to say, all right, here's the blueprint. We'll slap you on the wrist. A couple of your execs might get fired, but is it worth it? Yeah. I would say it was worth it if you're the Houston Astros. Screw that.
Well, now they get to keep your World Series. Now you get to keep your World Series, so okay.
All those guys are going to make 35, 50, 75 bucks a pop at autograph shows for the next 50 years.
I like how you're worried about those. You're worried about the guys that need to make money at autograph shows. I like how you're worried about that.
I just want to add it in because they're going to keep getting paid.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.